ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to get into the Deshaun Watson situation. Browns be Brownsin', even to a level that maybe they didn't expect. So what next? What's going to happen? What about Baker? What about Baker and the Browns? Can't wait to see his reaction to all this. Dennis Dodd interviewed Lincoln Riley. That went about as well as you'd expect. Will he ever quit talking about Oklahoma? Sure doesn't seem like it. Seems KD 2.0 right about now. Boston Celtics take a 2-1 series lead over the Warriors. Sooners. Oof. You know, it's a bad idea. Getting ahead of them 1-0. If you're going to do it, it needs to be 2. Just ask UCLA. They got ahead 2-0 right off the bat. It can't be 1-0 or things go south. And by the way, the world didn't end this morning when LIV Golf teed off. We didn't all just sink into a hole. It's amazing the reaction from the golf media and how much they're either in the pocket of the PGA Tour or whatever it is. Because it's almost like watching a news story when the talking points go out and the media dives in. I mean, it is almost impossible to find someone that has a differing opinion about LIV Golf than what the mainstream golf media is. We'll talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon app is free. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News at the website last night or two nights ago at midnight. You can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now, everywhere. Let's see, Big Oak TV, Paragon TV during the high school sports season. Those are loud and clear live streaming of all the games. And also, you've got the Skinny on Sports podcast. Go back and listen to a show that you might have missed. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
A little tired. I'm just going to be real honest.
Watch all that game, did you?
Yeah, and then some.
And then some.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the Sports Center afterwards.
It's hard work taking care of Possum, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time. And man, last night turned pretty.
Golly, wasn't it?
Once the clouds, I don't know if the clouds went away, but just the wind went away.
The wind went away. That's
and just got calm, and it was cool. Wasn't hot or muggy.
But it wasn't cold either. It was perfect.
Perfect. I enjoyed it out on the porch watching that game.
Yeah, I left here, it was kind of windy. It was just a little too breezy for your liking.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hit or miss with I would call it probably partly sunny. It certainly wasn't mostly sunny, just kind of partly sunny every now and then it peeped through the clouds. And you're right, the wind shut off, and then it almost felt like it warmed up. And it was gorgeous last night. Just a perfect day, perfect evening.
It was nice. Very nice.
So you watched the game?
Yeah. Thought we might get a good one after Texas took a 1-0 lead, and man, they got to be kicking themselves with bases loaded, not able to get more. Who knows how that game would have turned. I don't think it would have mattered. Man, the bats were hot for OU, for Jocelyn Allo, Tiara Jennings. My goodness, what a performance by OU. And if there, you know, there was, you know, there's the underdog role of Texas, and there's always that. And you kind of, and I kind of thought we would see, okay, here they go. That we kind of knew going in, they've kind of caught fire at the right time, and they got that one run lead. I thought we might have ourselves a game, but man, OU is just historically good, and they showed it last night. And they did not want to take a chance of, you know, after they got like a 5-1 lead, like, well, we don't want to. We know what Texas can do because we saw what they did against OSU to come back from a deficit like that. So they kept it on them and kept it on them and kept it on them. I just hope they, I mean, surely they didn't. Surely they have enough gas in the tank for tonight. Hopefully they didn't score all their runs last night. But it's just, I mean, my jaw just hits the floor. I know we're here. We are one more game left in the season, hopefully for OU. And I'm still amazed of how good this team is.
Man, the debate was last night, why would you even pitch to Alo?
Yeah, they're kind of
why even do it?
First base was open in that for her first at bat.
And I get it, you're up 1-0 and it's just the bottom of the first inning and there's a lot of game left, blah blah blah, all those clichés. Stop it. Stop pitching to her. Because it's going to end bad. She's hitting 700 in the NCAA tournament. 700.
That's insane.
And the thing is, it's not like she's like slapping it around like a little slap hitter. No. It felt like, I mean, she just crushed that pitch in what, the second inning for a double.
Yeah, right up the middle.
Right up the middle, and she hit it so hard it was like tailing to the right. I mean, just, and that felt like a giant win. Because the ball didn't fly out of the park.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And here's the thing. I understand. I get it. And Jeremy just texted in, the second best player in the nation right behind. I don't care. I don't care who's behind her. She's the greatest softball player of all time. You cannot let her beat you. You cannot. Because
unless
here's the thing.
The bases are loaded, no. I would walk her. Or even walk her if the bases are loaded.
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Do not pitch to her. It's the last thing you can do.
This reminds me of when I played baseball now 20 years ago when we went up against a player named Matt Yost.
Yeah.
And we were in the playoffs, and every time he came up, our coach said, put him on. We're not even going to pitch this guy.
Irregardless of the situation.
And we lost by a run because we took his bat out of the game.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you have to do that.
You have
if you're
to do
Texas.
It.
That's their only chance. Their only chance they have.
Yeah, there's not much point.
There's not much, but that's the only chance they have is you just cannot pitch to her.
Man, I wish I could find that. It was a comparison between, you know, Barry Bonds' season in, I think, 2001, where he broke the record, the home run record and all that. It's just an incredible year. And she's like 150% higher than that. With the way she's hit this season. I mean, you just conventional wisdom doesn't apply in this situation. It just doesn't. She cannot see another pitch for the next one or two games. If you just cannot pitch to her. Because not only is she great, the greatest, but she's also on an absolute tear also. So you've got the greatest player on a heater. You cannot. And listen, I get the Jennings thing. And guess what? It sucks that she's next. It really does. It's a terrible break for anybody playing. Well, I mean, the first four batters in the lineup are all first-team All-Americans. 1 through 4. What are you going to do? And last night, the eighth hole hitter was hitting home run. I mean, it's six out of the park. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you cannot, under any circumstances. Oh, here it is. Dakota just tweeted it. Or just sent it to us. Okay, so Allo's weighted runs created, whatever that is 303. Which is 203% better than the D1 average. 59% better than the best season in MLB history in 2002 with Barry Bonds. Which is 244. Craziness. And that's just the beauty, if you're Patty Gasso, of having the 29 Yankees, is because if you don't pitch to her, you have to pitch to Jennings. I mean, what are you going to do? You're just gonna start out walking one in and then face the five hole? I mean, what do you do?
What do you do? Yeah, what do you do? Yeah,
and
that's the only thing you can do. You just don't pitch to her. Now, do you think here's the deal. If I'm a head coach, you know, if I'm Texas head coach, forgive me for not remembering his name, is it a pride thing? Like, how would we look if we just – do we look like cowards not pitching to her?
I don't care what you look like. It's your only chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And it is kind of ironic that, you know, the story behind Alo and the Texas coach?
Well, wasn't he at Oregon?
Offered her and pulled
the offer.
Yes. Says the worst minutes of his coaching career, looking back on it.
Man, that might overshadow everything else he does. He's the guy who pulled the offer from Jocelyn Alo.
Right. He's also the guy that flipped off the crowd in the Big 12 tournament.
Yep.
But I honestly, we were just sitting there. It's 1-0 Texas, runner on second base. You can't pitch her.
No.
And here's the thing. She hit that one off the hands, the first one. Well, like when they slow-mo'd it and you saw where she hit she hot it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was way inside of her. I mean, right off the handle. And she muscled it out of there. It makes no difference. It honestly makes no difference who's behind her. You cannot pitch to her ever again.
Yeah. She is such a dominating player. I like the text about she might be the best Oklahoma Sooner of all time in any sport. She's one of those players that – so we had the game on, right? And, you know, my kid – my youngest, she just runs around. But Katie she's watching. And then it got to a point, she said, "Dad, just tell me when Jocelyn's batting."
Yeah.
And she'd go do her thing. I was like, "Katie, hurry up. Jocelyn's about up." She'd come out and watch that, see her bat, then go do her other thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's like, yeah, she's an OU fan, but she's a bigger Jocelyn Alo fan. I'm going to hate to break it to her that she's done after this year, because maybe next year she's going to go, "Where's Jocelyn?" Well, she's gone.
But yeah, here you go. I don't care if Mike Trout's hitting behind her. You don't throw her a pitch. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
No matter what. And you know, Jennings, like Jeremy said, she got the second best player in the nation behind her. And she hit a 3-run bomb after they hit Alo. Or Alo.
Right.
We need to say her name right. Alo.
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 Alo. Alo.
We were pondering the thought of, do they have to build a new house with all the balls that they're getting back from the outfield?
Did you see the tweet with the picture of, this is where her family keeps all her home run balls?
It was
like
the bouncy ball thing.
What do you call that? The ball pit from a playground. That is awesome, though. I love that they go and find the ball and give it to the family member.
Yeah,
you're
it's
right.
Really cool.
Yeah, they probably have to bring in an extra bag just to carry all her balls.
Well, it's a good thing her dad's such a giant human being, so he's strong enough to carry all the balls out of there. Just total domination. And it was, of course, 5-1 early, and then it's 10-1, and then ends up 16-1. And without that run rule, it was like, man, you actually get to see how good this team is.
Right.
And, you know, being the home team, they didn't even get all 7 at-bats. That'll change tonight. If you're Texas, I mean, what are you – they threw the kitchen sink at them.
Yeah.
And tied the record for the largest beating of all time in the College World Series. I mean, at some point, you just hope they get tired of hitting. Put pressure. I mean, they got the lead 1-0. Like you said, who knows what happens if they can – you know, push a couple extra runs across there with the bases loaded in the top of the first. Who
the
knows?
Mentality, kind of like what UCLA did. I think OU, when that happened, that first game, and they lost it, you know, UCLA got that lead. I think it changes the mentality of a batter of a more of a forced effort in the batter's box, and you're popping up or you're grounding out. It's not so natural anymore, and you're not having fun. You're working. So I mean, it would. I don't know that the outcome would change, but I think it might have been a closer score if Texas was able to capitalize on those bases loaded other than just getting one run. And that was because OU walked them in. It wasn't like they hit it in. So I think it would have changed the mentality a little bit. But OU was there on a mission, you could tell. It's like, this is where we finish this. My concerns of all the pressure on OU and them maybe be a little uptight and nervous and everything, that might have been true in that first inning. Defensively, with a trout line, I want to say trout line, like I'm fishing, trout line. Maybe she was, because she was having trouble finding the strike zone, which was erratic in my opinion. But I think you can credit Ala once she put one over the fence, got him the 2-1 lead. All that nervousness went away, and everybody was cool, calm, and collected. And it's easy to pitch when you have a lead, you know. So. Tonight, I expect a little, maybe not as such a dominant as far as lopsided score, but you're going to see a focused OU team just come out. I think they're going to come out roaring and never look back.
Well, that's the thing. If you're Texas, it almost, to me, helps to be the home team for not only getting the last at bat, but maybe you can come out, set them down, and then get a lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think the one thing that happened in that UCLA game was it was 2-0, and then you could see a little bit of pressing from
exactly.
the bats
exactly.
instead of just doing what comes natural. And that's where you've got to get the Oklahoma offense. It's trying to do too much, you know, hit a 5-run home run or, you know, whatever it is, hit a 2-run home run with nobody on base. And that leads to pop-ups and easy outs. But what we saw last night was next level even for this team. It was just stupid. Like, everybody in the box, you thought, this is liable to be a home run.
Yeah.
The entire night, it was nuts how Texas just had no answers. And quite frankly, there just may not be an answer. The answer is give them a ring and move on at the end of the day. Celtics last night take a 2-1 series lead. Dug this up for the sports report at night. So this was the 40th time in NBA Finals history that a series was tied 1-1. Got any guesses in the previous 39 how many the Game 3 winner won?
A considerable amount.
32.
Yeah.
32
I almost said
of
that.
39.
I almost asked you that yesterday. Does the winner of last night's game go on to win this thing? I almost asked you that question. I thought that's a little premature.
I would have thought so too. I get it when it's like 2-2. In a Game 5 winner, I get it being lopsided. Game 3, though, it doesn't seem as important because there's still 5 games left,
right.
you know, 4
right.
games left after Game 3.
Right.
But as it turns out, in the previous 39, 32 of the series were won by the Game 3 winner. Got to be huge concerns in the Golden State camp, how Steph, you know, the scrum there at the end with like 4 minutes left. He claims he's fine. We'll see. Yeah, that's obviously a loss that Golden State cannot endure. Have any problem with the fans of Boston getting on Draymond?
It's Boston. That's Boston. And maybe I'm saying that because I just don't like Draymond Green.
Right.
But he kind of brings it on to himself, especially with his little podcast and how he plays rough and tough and just like a fool. And then he doesn't produce playing like that. And they're just getting, you know, you give them a reaction, you give them a reason, they're going to do that. But again, it's Boston. Klay Thompson needs to get thicker skin.
Do you see that?
I mean, I'm sure mean tweets hurt his feelings too, right?
I mean, soft.
Give me a break.
By the way, since it's pile on the Warriors time.
I love it.
Come on, Steve Kerr. I mean, how ridiculous does he look to sit over there and wear that mask all game? And then when it's time to yell at somebody close to him, he takes it off.
Pulls it off.
I mean, come on.
Exudes more breath yelling at somebody than he does calmly talking with the mask. I mean, give me a break.
About the time you start to think, or at least me, about the time I start thinking, you know what? I don't mind the Warriors. They're fun, and they are fun to watch. I don't mind them.
Sure, the play is fun. Yeah,
they're back to the normal squad, the ones they drafted, and they're making it the way they started. They don't have to have KD and all that. about the time I start to really kind of enjoy them, they start talking, yes. And it goes away.
Yes.
The only one that doesn't is Steph.
Right.
The rest of them kind of do the talking for him, and maybe he just needs to tell them shut up. I mean, Draymond. Ugh.
Yeah, Klay Thompson didn't do his team any favors by saying that stuff about the crowd.
No, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse, and now he's going to be the target.
But here's the thing, and he is right about one thing. They've been to they've been into and won at every hostile environment you can think of, And this will be no different coming up on Friday night. And I said here yesterday, I didn't know what order it was going to happen, but I did believe it would be 2-2, and I still believe that. I'm going to go back to the Bay Area for Game 5 in a series tied 2-2, because this is just what the Warriors do. They're that way for a reason. But, man, are they soft as Charmin. Holy cow.
They are very soft.
You know who's not soft? Marcus Smart. He is the opposite of soft.
He was good.
Warriors were 0 for 9 last night when Marcus Smart contested a shot.
Wow.
No matter who was shooting.
Had a real good feeling about his defense in this
series. Man,
he was
good.
Had a real good feeling about it.
He was good.
But he was good offensively, too, last night. Him and Tatum, and who's the third guy?
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Did you see that stat?
Yes, I did.
About the finals?
Tatum acted like he didn't know who those guys were.
Kareem, Magic, and Michael Cooper.
Yeah, well, I was born in 90. Come on, dude. Respect the history of the league you play in.
You've also got, if you're a Celtic, you've got to try to downplay any Laker accomplishment.
Any Laker talk, I get it.
By the way, Tatum and Brown, second duo in NBA history to score 1,000 points in a single postseason, 25 or younger.
Clay and Steph, are they in that?
Nope.
Who is it?
The other ones did it twice before they were 25.
Before they were 25?
Mm-hmm. The other duo.
Are you going to tell me? Is it recent or are we talking?
We've literally mentioned both of their names so far today. Jared. This is sad.
Help me.
Who could it be?
I don't know. I said they did it twice before.
Before 25 or younger.
25 or younger, and they've done it twice.
These two did it twice.
Scored a combined 1,000 points in the playoffs. Kareem and Magic?
No.
Okay, just.
You're thinking too hard.
You can.
It's obvious. Where we live, it is obvious.
We didn't mention Westbrook in this show.
I thought I said Russ.
I don't remember.
It's Westbrook and Durant.
Okay, I thought that was, that was on the tip of my tongue. I thought, wait, we didn't mention Russ.
Oh, I thought I said Russell's name. Sorry. I know I said KD's name. Yeah, Russ and KD, 2012 and 2014 both.
In my defense, I had that on my brain, but I didn't think we'd mention. Then when you said we didn't mention, or we mentioned him already. Okay. Very good.
The LIV Golf has started. Nobody's got their head chopped off. Nobody's been sent to the guillotine yet.
What's going to happen when Fat Pat's caught cheating? Are they going to cut his hands off?
I can't wait to find out. I cannot wait. You know what's funny? Is first off, there's obviously been some sort of coordinated effort throughout the golf media, like talking points to try to make fun of and just smear this in any way possible, which is fine. I get it. Whatever. But you know what's hilarious? Mm. As watered down as this coverage is, it's better than CBS on the weekend already.
Really?
It's just like zoom, zoom, zoom. It's like what you want to watch watching golf. You know what that is? Golf shots. You're actually able to watch golf shots. Sure enough, the PGA Tour came out. As soon as they all, of course, it's shotgun start, so it's just like the every weekend muni. They have suspended the 17 players that are affiliated with the tour.
So now, what's that mean? Suspended?
Well, that's an interesting thing because there's not a timeline of the suspension. But you know what else they did? Not only suspended, but also took away the opportunity for like sponsors exemptions. So what it means is they ain't playing. Now, that's all well and good. And they can do whatever they think they can do. Nobody cares until we see what the majors do. There was some scuttlebutt on Twitter yesterday that the Masters, which is kind of the first one, right? Because at this point, we talked about the USGA. You know, they have the rules set. Their qualification guidelines are set for this year. And it's a week away. What are they going to do? And they even said this. What can we do? Our hands are tied. We've already, we have the stuff posted on our website on how to play our championship. We can't just go back a week ahead of time because we don't like what a few of these guys are doing. They qualified. They can play. RNA is going to be the same way, obviously, with the British. So that means the next real test is the Masters. I can't wait to see what happens because I have a feeling that they're going to say no. And we're talking about, what, three champions in the field right now? Four, if you count Fat Pat. It may be more to come, but you got Sergio, DJ, Phil, and Fat Pat are, you know, lifelong exemption into the Masters because they are a Masters champion. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Augusta's going to say no for a lot of different reasons, some of which I'll agree with, some of which I won't. Because I think it's hilarious to see all the coordinated effort from all media to smear and besmirch this tour, which is fine because of the human rights abuses of Saudi Arabia when every one of them are in bed with China, who was way worse. Way worse. So I can't wait to see what the Masters does, because to me, that's when it starts to really matter and decisions really... Because right now, I mean, those guys don't care. They're making hundreds of millions of dollars playing three rounds a week instead of four, seven or eight times a year instead of 20, and can still play the majors. Who cares? But when you start talking about, nope, you don't get to drive down Magnolia Lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when things start to matter. And listen, I love what Rory had to say about making decisions based on money. You normally don't work out, all that kind of stuff. I love that idea. JT was the same way. And those guys, I think they mean it. But they're also the one percenters on tour. But even those guys, we'll see. I mean, right now it's easy to be completely down with the tour, and but even those guys, I mean, there's a price. Maybe there's not. Now, there's reports that JT turned down $300 million, Rory almost $500,000, Tiger $750 million, and maybe there is that much loyalty to what the PGA Tour is. They're sure saying the right things, you know that, and maybe they have so much money it doesn't matter to them, right? I mean, these other guys, I mean, listen, OSU fan, if you don't like this, you're really going to hate the next couple of weeks, because you're going to see Matthew Wolf. You're going to see Ricky Fowler. Taylor Gooch is already there. You know, you're going to see these guys do this. And until the majors say no, then what's keeping anybody there outside of some loyalty to the tour that a lot of these guys playing over there right now don't feel like comes back to them? But the world did not end. To my knowledge, nobody's got their head chopped off just yet. Now wait till the first bogey, and maybe that's the... You never know.
Well, Phil's in trouble because he's like three over.
Did you see him? Have you seen him
I just now tuned in. I'm just now kind of soaking this in, watching their coverage on YouTube. And you're right. It's fast and furious pace as far as going from golfer to golfer to golfer. The constant scoreboard on the side. You see that?
It's like F1. It's like a race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phil, a little distracting. I don't know.
We made the joke of Phil being, you know, Hogan, Hollywood Hogan. I mean, he's got like the beard and everything.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen him not clean shaven. Now he's gone to the Live Tour.
Well, he's had nowhere to go, so why shave? But now he's there. I truly think he's embracing the role of
heel.
You want to label me the villain? I'll be the villain.
I think so too. Everything he's wore is black so far.
Yeah. Or maybe just a straight up image change to try to. That was old Phil. This is new Phil.
Be the bad boy Phil.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But you're going to see more and more of those guys take the money. The black is for slimming and make his moves less obvious. That's a good point.
Noted.
Speaking of scumbags and liars, Lincoln Riley, everybody.
Best tweet I saw last night after the OU win. Someone tweeted, Lincoln would have lost that game.
Oh, man. I almost spit out my coffee. So he was with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com is where you can find this article. And the title is...
It's like Harry talking to Lloyd.
Lincoln Riley sets the record straight as USC rebuilds in earnest while embracing steep expectations.
Quick sidebar, Dennis Dodd. I always had this theory. He does not like OU. He's a Missouri guy. A lot of journalists are. They have a good journalism school over there at University of Missouri. But I've seen him paint OU in a bad light more often than not when he has an opportunity to talk about or write about OU. Just so as soon as you said Dennis Dodd, yes, I go, here we go.
Well, he's
this
not.
This ought to be good.
He's not the one saying this stuff.
I know, but he's giving the opportunity. He's probably jumped all over the opportunity.
As to would go to Lincoln everybody Riley. Else. There's this isn't. Look, I don't disagree maybe with your. Your hypothesis about Dennis Dodd, but
I feel the same about that Pete Fuatek over at collegefootballnews.com that covers NBA for some reason. But anyways, go ahead.
So let me ask you this, Jared. Are you going to start liking ESPN again? Because OU will be in the SEC and they'll talk good.
I don't know. There is a nice article about Brent Venables, ironically, today that came out.
It's weird how that's happening,
isn't
that
funny?
All right, so Lincoln Riley setting the record straight about leaving. Oh, there are quite a few, I'm not going to call it lies, because this is his perception, but what many around here would consider falsehoods in this article. The main one in my mind is that he's still trying to sell the idea that he walked off the field at Boone Pickens Stadium with no clue that he was going to U.S. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I think, you know, Jim and Al were talking about this yesterday afternoon, and Jim was like, well, how does Dennis Dodd not follow up with a question about that? And Mark was like, listen, nobody buys it. It's almost like not worth his time because everybody knows he's lying. So that was interesting. I also think the one quote that created a lot of the buzz and a lot of the vitriol that continues, and this is so reminiscent of the KD situation, it's scary. It's only coming from one side. Now, we're going to sit here and comment about it because that's what we're doing. That's what we do on the show. But we're not bringing up Lincoln Riley all on our own.
And OU's not bringing up Lincoln Riley.
No.
They're like, hey, he's gone. We're talking about our guy right here in this program.
Until things like this are written or said, and then you got to talk about them. I think the one quote that got everybody fired up is when he said, quote, I've walked into four playoffs and I've never been better than maybe the third best roster. Every other year we were 4 of 4. We had really good rosters, but they weren't the same. I can't imagine that there could be a setting that we could build a better roster than we can here at USC. Unpack that with your thoughts.
I mean, isn't his job as a head coach to recruit the players and build his roster? Was that a shot at OU saying, I can't recruit the guys I want to OU, and I can at USC?
Sure was.
Was that the shot? I felt like it was a weird it's risky to say that because that's what people are going to come back and say, but you built the roster. Starts with you, head coach. That's what I took from it. I was like, well, that's odd to say. You're the one who recruited these guys. And how do you feel about, I mean, how do his former players feel about that?
Not happy.
I mean, you just said, I didn't have a good roster. We had maybe the third or fourth best roster in the college football playoff, and that's why we couldn't get past the semifinal. Well, how do you think Mark Andrews feels about that? Or others? And by the way, 2017, I felt like he had the best roster.
See, I don't. I don't think he did.
Okay.
I don't think they were ever as talented as Alabama. Ever. And that's okay. Because you know who's not as talented as OU? Kansas State. Iowa State.
There we go. Yeah.
Teams like that. Oklahoma State. Baylor. Whoever else you want to throw in there. Tulane. Kansas. These teams aren't as talented as OU if you just look up and down the roster. But that's not what wins. I mean, I'm not sitting here and telling you you're going to win the Kentucky Derby with a Shetland, but OU ain't no Shetland. Now, they may not have the very top talent in the country according to any eyeballs or recruiting rankings or NFL draft or whatever you want to talk about. But to me, it's an indictment on a couple of things. One, okay, then recruit better. And if he wants to say he is hamstrung, I mean, there's always been the joke that the compliance office at OU is the biggest hindrance to recruiting at that level, which, okay, I get it. But it also is an indictment on the fact that can you not coach him up?
That's kind of what I was saying.
I mean, first off, this isn't Akron. You've got the guys. I mean, you're coming in this article whining about the quality of talent when, oh, by the way, in this run, back-to-back years, you had the number one pick and the Heisman Trophy winner on your team. Do you think the roster itself that he's blaming, was it the roster that jumped up and squib-kicked it right before half against Georgia? Was that the roster, or was that boy genius? Was it the roster that ran a damn end around on third down and overtime to Jordan Smallwood when Rodney Anderson had been running up and down the field against that vaunted Georgia defense from third and one? Was that the roster that made that choice, or was it the boy genius? And let's not kid ourselves. The recruiting rankings and supposed quality of player got better in the years that Lincoln Riley was at OU, either as the offense coordinator or the head coach. But, you know, there was an inverse property there, because as the recruiting rankings went up and more of Lincoln's guys were on the team, the results went down. And you can't tell me for the last 2 years that Oklahoma didn't have the best roster in the Big 12.
Very true.
Because they did.
Yep.
And so at some point, the excuses have got to stop. I mean, this is clearly throwing the players underneath the bus on this one to make himself look better. So what's next in the middle of July when another one of these pieces comes out? Who's he blaming next? Because it ain't going to be himself.
No. I would venture to say more of a shot at administration.
Not allowing him to have the things. And listen, I think a lot of what he was asking for was needed. Because look what's happening. Brent Venables is doing the same things that he was wanting to do. At some point, though, sometimes it's okay. You know, was it a better, easier fit in Golden State for Kevin Durant than it was right here in Oklahoma City? Sure it was. It was a lot more fun. Is it a better fit for Lincoln Riley at USC than it was in Oklahoma? Sure seems like it. Easier road out in the Pac-12, not having to worry about the SEC coming up in future years. Sure. But let it be okay. He's the one that's not letting it be okay.
It's like he has to speak it into it to make it justifiable for for him to make that move. So he has to keep talking about it, keep talking about it.
He has to keep lying to himself to make himself feel better about a move
exactly
that I don't think he sure was the right one. And then start talking about how the atmosphere at USC is going to be better. I mean, come on.
Give me a break. That floored me. Give me a break.
But at the end of the day, the one thing that OU fans and us sitting here talking about it have to get to a place where even this stuff doesn't matter, because you're looking at what you got. And I think at the end of the next 5 or 10 years, that move is going to be looked at as a blessing in disguise for Oklahoma, because you weren't going to fire Lincoln Riley because he was having tons of success. But what you got in return for him leaving is what you needed to be in order to make the move into the SEC and try to sustain some level of the success that OU has been used to since Stoops came in 1999.
Right. Yeah. Lincoln Lewis needs to move on. Good luck to you, bud. Have fun out there in the West Coast. Just move on. Focus on his program and not focus on the past. But it sure sounds like a lot of, I don't know if regret's the word. That might come later depending on results on the field.
Yeah, I don't think he has any. I think he's so, like Durant in a lot of ways, wants everybody to like him and wants everybody to like his moves so bad that it bothers him that people don't. And so he's trying to justify that in his mind and in the minds of others. And unfortunately for him, the people here's minds made up. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock. Yeah. Ing. Yeah.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Game 2 of the Women's College World Series coming up tonight, 6:30, first pitch in OKC. With the Sooners leading 1-0 after a 16-1 drubbing of the Texas Longhorns last night. One more win. Be the fourth title in 6 years for Patty Gasso's squad if the Sooners are able to win back-to-back championships as well.
Speaking of football, it's cool to see Brent Venables there. Rocking a softball jersey.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
He is.
It's pretty cool.
He's doing all the right things PR-wise and fan base-wise to get everyone in his corner. There's no doubt about that.
Should he bring the golden hat tonight?
Be a bit presumptuous.
Maybe in secret. Maybe have it in the trunk.
Yeah, when it's 10-1 in the fifth inning, then maybe walk out to your car.
Yeah, something like
that. Grab
the
hat,
yeah.
Pass it around.
That'd be kind of a cool scene.
It'd be like the beach ball getting knocked around in like the outfield. Except for it's the golden hat, everybody get to wear it. If I was him, I'd probably just go hand it to Mr. Olo.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He can wear it.
Yeah.
What's somebody going to do? Tell him to take it off?
That'd be really cool, but it'd be a tricky situation. You don't want to take the spotlight away. Like if he just subtly say, "Hey, Patty, here."
Yeah, how cool would it be if Patty walked out there in the top of the seventh inning to coach third base in a 15-0 lead wearing the gold hat? I don't think that would ever happen, but it'd be fun. Man, okay, so Deshaun Watson.
Ugh. Saved
We're going to end on a downer.
The dirtiest for last.
Will he ever play again in the NFL?
He shouldn't, but he will. My question is, when will the NFL? They're letting the court system.
What's happening?
Why does the NFL drag their feet on not just this, but we've seen it with the domestic abuse stuff, with past players. They drag their feet on their punishment. This has been quite a while. But it looks like there could be more who come out and said he's done this. He's because allegedly he's hired 66 women in a 17-month span. And it doesn't mean that he was inappropriate with all 66, but, I mean, one's too many. So, but I think eventually, yes, he will play, but this is a – I don't think he should. And, boy, howdy. The Brown's going to brown, right? Didn't they say they did their homework on this before they gave him that contract?
Here's the thing.
That's a lie.
No, it's not a lie.
You think they knew about all this?
No, they didn't. Even his legal people didn't know about the 24th one. That is what's so scary about this. If you're the Browns, if you're Watson, if you're any of it, is this is a new one.
Wow.
Let me ask you something. How many did you say it was?
That he's hired?
Yeah.
66, I believe.
How you doing?
Well, it ain't raining.
You know what this is yet?
No.
Yeah, I guess so.
You fellas met Reg?
No, I don't think so. How you doing? Roman Craig. Pleased to meet you. Chet Ripley. How do you do?
You got it yet?
There's quite a hairdo you got going there, Reg. You gonna have a neo skunk thing? Or?
Roman, what are you doing?
Well, he's got the hair.
Well, you don't have to say anything.
His hair turned white because lightning hit him. Yeah. He's been struck by lightning. How many times is it now, Reg?
Six times.
Six times.
You got that was Chevy Chase, wasn't it?
No.
In there. What is that?
Dan Aykroyd and John Candy. The Great Outdoors.
Oh.
66 times.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know that Deshaun was getting struck in the head 66 times, but maybe 40 of them.
Jeez.
So what about Baker here?
I think he is sitting back enjoying all of this.
What happens?
I'm sure you've seen he has been excused from minicamp. Both parties.
Mutual decision.
What's going to be so awkward is if he is on the roster, they need a quarterback. I mean, they can't. When's the trade deadline? October?
Something like that.
He's gonna have to get paid, but he has to show up to the mandatory stuff. Am I right? I'm trying to map this out timeline wise. So what does he do? Does he show up and just say, "Oh, I'm here," and throw out down a lawn chair and put his hands up behind his head and say, "Pay me"? Does he go? Does he actually give an effort? It's a weird situation. Because the Browns obviously going to need somebody to play quarterback. And Baker does not want to be that somebody.
No, and they don't want him to be.
No. But I bet you Baker is just sitting somewhere just laughing about all this.
Of course he is.
He is enjoying all of it.
Yep. And here's the problem for the Browns.
What's crazy, I'll let you finish, but what's crazy is I heard this said, so I can't take credit for it, but it's a good point. The Browns said they wanted
an adult
at quarterback. Well, you got yourself an adult pervert.
Adult star.
Wow. What were you going to say?
So the Browns right now, if they wanted to release themselves of this pariah, that is Deshaun Watson, it would cost them $195 million worth of cap space. Dead money. Because That entire contract was guaranteed. You know what else they don't have? First round draft picks, because they traded them all.
They just
to Houston.
They just set themselves back.
Here's the deal, Houston.
10 plus years.
It was. I saw it reported last night that Houston, the Texans organization, is going to get drawn into being sued over this.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because they had people watching him. They knew about this. Like a private investigator guy that was trying to sweep it all under the rug type thing. Because they knew of this problem.
What a mess.
And so now they're going to be embroiled in the civil lawsuits. And so the Browns have managed. I mean, this is almost like next level Brownsing. Like, even they got to be proud of themselves for how they screwed this up. They have alienated the only quarterback in 30 years to lead them to a playoff win. Over, by the way, their hated rival, the Steelers, in Heinz Field. They've managed to alienate him so bad that he will not play for them. There is no chance that Cleveland, I mean, they may come crawling on their knees back to Baker Mayfield, but I don't believe there's any chance in the world that he'd play for them again. After what happened last year when he put his body on the line, literally with his shoulder broke for that franchise, and what? How do you repay him? You smear him in public and then go hire the adult star? No chance. And then, not only have they done that, they traded for this guy who's, quite frankly, has a way better chance of never playing in the NFL again than actually playing for the Browns, in my opinion. Every day he's in the news cycle because more is coming out. And the problem for his legal team and the problem for his PR team and the problem for the Browns is they did their due diligence or what they thought they did, and now there's more coming. That's got to be a scary situation. Like, what's next? So that's happening. And then, to put the cherry on top of this saga, if you're a Cleveland Brown fan, you're thinking, oh, that's all right. We don't have to play Baker. He doesn't want us. Deshaun's done with football forever. That's okay. We'll just be really, really bad this year. And it's the perfect time to be bad because we'll be able to draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or whoever else in the first round. Oops. Never mind. Don't have those picks either.
How many first-round picks do they give up?
Three or four.
For how many years?
Three or four.
Oh, my goodness. And you can't trade Baker because you've made him untradeable of how you smeared him.
That's right. And you've made it to the point where you're about to have if you do find because I think there's trade partners out there, but there's trade partners out there with a lot of conditions.
Yeah.
Meaning you're paying X amount of his salary.
Right.
So you're going to end up with, if you're Cleveland and this goes the way it looks like it's going, you're going to end up with over $200 million in dead money committed to quarterbacks that aren't on your roster. One of them not even in the league. One of them might be behind bars at some point here. Welcome to the Jacoby Brissett era. Think about this. That one of the great what-ifs in recent NFL time is this. What if halfway through the season last year, Baker Mayfield says, man, I just can't go, and has surgery on his shoulder?
Yeah, I'm sure Cleveland would hold on to him. Or, no, they wouldn't. Because Cleveland's going to Cleveland. They probably would have been upset. And they use that as an avenue of saying, he did this without talking to us. We want him gone. We want him. We don't need this child, or whatever they called him. They would find a way to screw it up.
No.
And I'd like to know more about that situation. The Cleveland, not knowing Baker, we've known since day one he set foot in Norman, he was a competitor and playing hurt is in his nature. You know what I mean? Like he was playing through the pain. But I wonder if Cleveland went to him and said, hey, we're going to invite you. We need to maybe set out the rest of the season. Go get that surgery. Or did they force him to play? You know what I mean?
Nobody forced him to play.
You know, I'm not trying to say force. That's wrong words.
It was quite the opposite, at least in real time last year, of they wanted him. The reporting was they wanted him to shut it down, and he said, I can play.
Okay.
Which also allowed them. I mean, they basically handed him the rope to hang himself, and he did. It gave them the ammunition to be able to move on. The problem is Cleveland, and they moved on to what they moved on to. Instead of, I mean, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, like a real one, not the fake ones that just became Browns fans when Baker got there. I'm not talking about you, OU fan. You're not a Browns fan. I mean, but if you're a real Browns fan, how good does Jimmy G look right about now?
Yeah.
You know? It's wild, even for the Browns. This is screwing it up to a level that I don't even think the Browns realized they could screw it up to.
But they found a way to screw it up.
They did. They found the guy.
They always find a way.
They found the guy to screw it up. Anyhow, it's like real life adult male soap opera going on up there. And Baker's like Stefano. You ever watch any Stefano? Any Days of Our Lives back in the day?
No.
Your grandparents didn't watch these?
No, I don't.
Stefano's the guy that just always turned out. He's like a bad penny.
The only soap opera reference I would ever get is Dr. Drake Ramore.
Wasn't even real, Jared.
I know. I don't know soap operas. But I know this is an opera, and I know that
how in the world did you avoid growing up when we grew up? How in the world did you avoid the soap opera as a kid?
I just didn't pay attention. I had a babysitter that would watch it. I really liked sitting down watching The Price is Right with her.
And then, right after that is Young and the
Well,
Restless.
Then I'd go and off and play. I just liked the games on The Price is Right when I was a kid. I remember that.
What was your favorite Price is Right game?
Oh, Plinko.
Really?
Yeah. It was just a game of chance, you know, but it was just fun just to watch him go up there and drop those discs down. That one, or what was the one with the yodeling? That's fun.
Fall off the edge. Yeah. Fall off the cliff.
Right.
That's going to be the question for tomorrow. What was your favorite Price is Right game?
The putting one was cool.
I liked where they would just smash into the circles, mm-hmm. smash in
yeah.
and grab.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, but Plinko's number one. The crowd always went wild. It was like, you're going to play Plinko!
It's hard to beat Plinko.
People would go crazy for Plinko.
Reach in and grab reach into that sack and grab either a number or an X.
Or an X, yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. If I was on The Price is Right, I'd be praying to play Plinko.
How heavy do you think the wheel was to spin?
You know, there are times you see some little, you know, old ladies who couldn't get that thing. You had to go around one time.
I had to go around or you got booed.
Yeah. And it looks like it has some weight to it.
Poor old lady up there with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth and oxygen tank to her side in one hand, and they'd boo her for not being able to get the thing around.
Fun. We'll end with this while we're talking about Price is Right. I have found if you have a Roku, a lot of people have Roku somewhere, on the Roku channel, it's like a default channel that's on Roku, totally free. There is a 24-hour channel of nothing but Price is Right. And I'm talking Bob Barker years with his black hair. Price is Right.
Holy cow.
Yes, it's really cool. I didn't think I'd enjoy it. There's times I'll turn it on and I'll just watch that.
I would never go to sleep.
It's really cool.
I love The Price is Right.
Really cool.
The price is wrong, Bob. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Skinny on Sports, right here on the Esports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.